You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, everybody. If you're joining with us online this morning and you're new, we just want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Naomi. I'm one of the pastors at Gateway Church, and we're just so blessed that we can meet together as the church and come around His Word. Amen. Well, how do we understand God's timing? And this is a theme that I've been praying about and really journeying with the Holy Spirit. And I want us to be able to journey through the Word today with the Holy Spirit, understanding God's timing. Have you ever wanted to understand more clearer God's timing for your life? You know, for many of us, there are prayers that we have prayed. There are visions that the Holy Spirit has given into our spirits. He has shown us, and they don't fade. And there's a freedom that we are believing for together. And one thing I've come to know is that understanding God's timing can bring you into the most sweetest fellowship that you can have with Jesus. Can I encourage you today, my friends? Can you keep believing that Jesus has the faith to bring it to pass, what He has shown you, what He has spoken to you? Can I encourage you this morning to keep holding fast, keep believing that Jesus has the faith to bring it to pass into your life? Amen. So as we come around the Word today, there's really two sections that I want us to journey through in the Word today. And part one, firstly, what is God doing in our lives in the in-between? From when God speaks that word into your spirit, from why God gives you that vision into your heart, the in-between, what is happening as He gives us that word until we see it come to pass? And secondly, in part two, God wants you to know today, He knows where you are. Do you hear me, church? God knows where you are. God knows what you are believing for. If God has assigned you, my friend, He will find you when the timing is right. So firstly, as we come around part one, can we turn to the book of Mark in Mark chapter 11, verses 12. It says, "The next day, as Jesus and the disciples, as they left Bethany, Jesus was feeling hungry. He noticed a leafy fig tree in the distance, so he walked over it to see if there was any fruit on it. But there was none. There was only leaves, for it wasn't yet the season for bearing figs." Verse 14, "Jesus spoke to the fig tree, saying, 'No one will ever eat fruit from you again.' And the disciples overheard him." You see, this moment is about the power of speaking God's word. Just as the tree received His word, we too have had Jesus speak His words over us. And even though the appearance from what had been said may have remained as it is, His power from His word has been released over that tree and over your situation. Mark 11:15 says, "They left the fig tree and went on to reach Jerusalem. Jesus went directly into the temple area, and he overturned all the tables and benches of the merchants who were doing business there. One by one, he drove them out of the temple courts, and they scattered away, including the money changers and those selling doves." This moment in between right now, Jesus is teaching all about the condition of man's heart. And I have to ask, these men who were in church, whose actions were the opposite of God's very intention for the church, did they understand God's purpose within His church? Do we ourselves understand what God's purpose is for the church today? Jesus was so clear. He revealed its purpose. He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." And the reason Jesus was so upset and so moved was because these men were exploiting its true purpose. men had lost the sense of the presence of God in the house of God. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." What man was trying to make exclusive of Jesus, Jesus was declaring that my presence and my words, my heart is for all people. Ephesians 1:23 says it like this: the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Aren't you glad of that this morning? That Jesus' presence fills your life because you are his body and you are his church. To truly know Jesus is to know the heart of Jesus, and his purpose for the church is that all may find the presence of God. His purpose being our only purpose. To understand God's timing within our lives, we want to know who Jesus Christ is. We have to want to know who Jesus Christ is. We need to grow to understand the condition of his heart and whose life we are living and whose life we will choose to live. Throughout our life, Jesus comes to us continually confronting and challenging the conditions of our very hearts. Is it what we can get from him? Or the defining moments in the waiting room that invite us to know him? And Paul said it best, "I want to know Christ." Philippians 3:10 says, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death." My friends, this morning, do you want to know Christ? Do you want to know Christ? Do you want to experience the mighty power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead? What you're believing for today, what you're hoping for, what you've been praying for from your spirit will only be experienced through his mighty power. Do you want to know Christ? Paul's heart was receiving God's heart. Defining moments in the waiting room, whose life am I going to live? Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live anymore, but it's Christ who lives in me, and this life I now lead, I live it by faith in the one who gave it all for me." Defining moments in the waiting room, my will be done or his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Luke 22 says, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. You see, when you speak his will, when you choose his will, God will always send strength to your heart and your mind and your body to keep pursuing God's will. He will always strengthen your heart. But what we have to ask ourselves, these men Jesus was talking to in the temple, was this always the condition of these men's hearts? Over time, what risk do we come into the condition of our hearts if we won't let God heal and challenge those areas of our hearts? The risk of being in church but not having the desire in our hearts that Paul talks about to know Jesus personally, to experience his power and his presence. The risk that I choose the way I want to live my life instead of trusting with all my heart to follow him. Lastly, the risk of my will over the will of my loving Father. There are risks that confront us all. when the place in between becomes too long a waiting room, our hearts become exposed to doubt, exposed to uncertainty, exposed to disappointment, where we can entertain ideas of giving up, and we can come to think that God's promises and His words fall short. The risk is we leave before our appointment time has come. So what do we do? We need to understand what the risk sounds like and what it looks like and where the risk is coming from. Then we will know God's purpose and how to guard it. John 10:10 says the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose, Jesus says to you, is to give them a rich and a satisfying life that they might have life and it more abundantly. Ephesians 6:10 says, in the waiting room, put on the whole armor of God. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on, the Bible says, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Do you hear that this morning, church? Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground. Let Jesus condition your heart. Let Jesus challenge your heart that you may know Him personally. You will come to know His voice, that you will need to come to know His leadings and His way, that you can trust Him wholeheartedly. Remember, as Jesus was seeking to restore the condition of those men's hearts in the temple, Jesus was right there at the center with them. He will be there right at the center with you. He will fulfill all that He has said to you. Mark 11, in the morning, they passed by that fig tree that Jesus spoke to. 24 hours have passed. Jesus has spoken to the fig tree. Then they've gone on to Jerusalem. But now they've come back to this fig tree. The waiting time is over. They passed by the fig tree that Jesus spoke to, and it was completely withered from the roots up. Peter remembered and said to Him, Jesus, look, that's the fig tree You spoke to. That's the fig tree You cursed. It's now all shriveled up and dead. Jesus replied, let that faith of God be in you. Listen to the truth I speak to you. Whoever says to this mountain with great faith and does not doubt, mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the sea, and believe that what he says will happen, it will be done. Peter and the disciples were astonished at not only the teaching and the words of Jesus, they were astonished of the power that was released when Jesus spoke the word to that fig tree. Believe what God says in your heart. Believe what He has shown you in your spirit and speak it out, thanking God for what He has entrusted into you to speak over and come into alignment with His words with. God responds to our trust in Him. Jesus is saying it's not about your faith, but who your faith is in. All I want you to believe is that all things are possible for me, and I am always full of faith. That's what Jesus is promising us today. This is what Jesus is reminding us today. All I want you to believe, church, is that all things are possible for me, and I am always full of faith. So when you look at a situation, when you look at that vision that you're praying for, when you're looking at those prayers that you've been trusting God for, don't ask if you can believe God for this, but if Jesus can believe God for this. Amen. For the disciples, they were amazed. For they knew that Jesus had spoken to that fig tree the day before and nothing had changed physically. It was the same in its appearance. And Peter said, "We all saw the fig tree and it stayed the same when you spoke those words, Jesus. But now, a day later, everything has changed. The fig tree that had leaves is now completely shriveled up and dead. Its entire trajectory has changed because of your words, Jesus. I remember what you said now, and I see the power of what your words will do. Your words did not produce the evidence we see until now, but now I see the timing in your ways." 24 hours to see change. But what if it's not 24 hours? What if it's 24 years and you're still waiting for the fig tree to change in its appearance? Well, this morning, my friends, you are in good company and God has an encouraging word for you. How do we understand God's timing? There's three points I want to look at today. Number one, God wants to reveal His ways to you. Number two, God wants you to have His right timing. And thirdly, God will direct your steps. Number one, God wants you to reveal His ways to you. Isaiah 55 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God will give you, secondly, His right timing. God will give you His right timing. Ecclesiastes says, "I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race, and the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, but being in the right place at the right time." And thirdly, God will direct your steps. Psalm 37 says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly." He delights in every detail of your life this morning. So what does this mean for you and I? It means as we learn to trust Him and only speak His words, God will continue to reveal His ways to you. God will most definitely give you the right timing. And lastly, God has absolutely, wholeheartedly, without a doubt, He has directed your steps. Jeremiah 29:11 talks about the sweetest fellowship as we trust in Him. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Part two, secondly, God wants you to know that He knows where you are this morning. Let your spirit hear these words this morning. Let your vision hear these words. The prayers that you have prayed, let your prayers, let your heart be encouraged this morning. God knows where you are. He sees you, my friend. He knows you personally and He loves you this morning. And we see this in the story of 1 Kings chapter 19 in the call of Elisha. "So Elijah went out and found Elisha plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah found Elisha because God spoke to him that now it was the right time. Elijah did not find Elisha in Bible college, but in the field, not reading or praying, but plowing the ground. This is not about control, for God is in control. For some, you might think you need to be in the right place to be seen and heard by the right people. But the only right person you need to be in front of is God. He knows exactly where you are. You can trust where He has called you to be, whether in an office or a field, in the city or the outback, in the mailroom or the CEO's office, in retail or university, standing at a basin, washing hair, pleading for God to take you out of there and put you into ministry. Yet you stayed in the waiting room while He was working on the condition of your heart. God knows where He has placed you, and when it is the right time, He'll come to you. You see, you've always been anointed. Position won't anoint what God has already done. You're just waiting for the position to change. The position of your child's heart that is turned away, changed and restored back to God. The position of barrenness to the miracle of pregnancy. The position of the strain in your marriage restored to right relationship. Strongholds changed to freedom. You see, my friend, you've always been anointed, but what you're waiting for is you're waiting for the appearance to change. You're anointed. You're just waiting for what looks dead, what looks hopeless, too hard, impossible to change its position, to be resurrected back to life. And the only thing, my friend, this morning that's going to do that is His word alone. Speak to it. Speak over your heart. Speak over your child. Speak over your marriage this morning. Speak over your child and watch only what God can do when it's His time. His timing is perfect. He knows how to speak to your child. He knows how to speak to your barren belly. He knows how to speak to your relationship and your marriage. He knows how to speak to your job situation. This morning, God is in control and He has the faith to believe for you. Elijah found Elisha because God spoke to him. It was time. So Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. You know, this action automatically signified the call of God on his life and the purpose for which God had purposed him to. And while in the field plowing, Elisha's heart had been conditioned and transformed by the Holy Spirit. What God had put in his hand to do, Elisha responded and was sowing faithfully. When Elijah came, he was ready to leave this season to walk the next season of the journey of God had called both Elijah and Elisha to. You know, what looks like obscurity to us is right where God placed you. Where God has placed you, my friend, He will find you. Where God has purposed you, He will transform you. God will follow through. You will not miss out. If God has assigned you, He will find you. And when God finds you, He will make His way known to you. Habakkuk says it like this: write this down. My vision, make it plain so that anyone who reads it may live by it. There is still a vision for the appointed time. It testifies to the end. It does not deceive. If it delays in the waiting room, wait for it is surely coming. It will never be late. This morning, church, as we come around a time of prayer, in understanding God's timing in our life, What is God doing in our lives in the in-between? My friends, this morning He is healing and He is restoring the condition of your heart, that as He challenges you, He will grow you. He will restore you back to health. And lastly, God knows where you are. He will follow through on what He has promised you. So, Father, I pray for every heart. I pray for every vision. I pray for every prayer that has been prayed. I pray for the tears that have been shed. I pray for the confusion and the frustration and the anguish. And Father, what I pray for is that hearts will be encouraged, because God, what You have spoken into our spirits, what You have shown us through a vision, though it will delay at times, wait for it, because God surely will perform everything that He has spoken into your heart. This morning we can trust Him. This morning our hope is assured. Our hope has been made confident, because He who speaks a word will not fail nor forsake us. He will deliver it in the right time. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we come, church, around a time of reflection, can I ask this one thing of you? That word that He has spoken into your heart, that vision that He has shown you that will never let go of you, that child that you are praying for to receive God's restoration and healing to their life, that barrenness that you are believing for, that job that you are waiting for, can I ask you, the word that He has spoken into your heart this morning through this reflection time, can I ask you just to believe Him? Just to believe Him with your heart and your mind and say, God, I believe what You have spoken to me. God, I believe what You have shown me. And without doubt in my heart, I believe, God, You have the faith to bring this to pass in my life. So let's come around a time right now of reflection. And I want you to believe God and what He's spoken into your spirit.